Hello today. Welcome to the greatest year in music history, the only podcast about the greatest year in music history. I'm John.
And I'm Jen. And if you're new here, the year is 1997, and we're here to prove it's the greatest year in music history, one album at a time. So today we're talking about Third Eye Blind.
The band or the album?
Both.
Okay, both.
Yep. Yep.
Cool. Yeah. Well, let's get right into it.
Real quick.
Okay.
If I'm being honest, I legitimately thought this album was called 3EB for a minute, but it's not.
I think they use that like on signs.
Right.
Or like a insignia, maybe?
It's a favicon. Right. Yeah. But it's not. It's definitely Third Eye Blind by Third Eye Blind.
Yeah. They could use it for a favicon. Yeah. Favicon? I'll never know.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, where did you first hear about the band?
So I was trying to think about that and remember. I don't know exactly. It wasn't like a, you know, monumental, huge, iconic moment that I first heard them. And I have to say, this album also reminds me of the way I feel about Limp Bizkit's $3 Bill, Y'all.
Because of the three?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Okay.
It's the threes. That's it. No. Because let's just put it out there at the beginning. It's not some revolutionary best album, Radiohead level, or like
right.
Beatles in the 60s, Rolling Stones level.
Yeah.
No one's going to be like, you know what the best album of all time is? 3EB.
Third Eye Blind. Okay. 3E Blind.
So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But it had a huge impact.
I think so, which is why.
And staying power.
Yes. Which is why I want, it's in the main.
That's why it's in the rotation.
Exactly. Of 97. But going back to your question, I don't remember, but it's probably hearing Semi-Charmed Life on the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was trying to think if it was, I mean, surely it had to have been the radio,
yeah.
But I think at least I think the awareness might have come maybe from even like a movie or something.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I was doing some research, I saw that they were in tons and tons and tons of soundtracks.
Oh, really?
In the 90s. I mean, and way past the 90s.
Oh.
Not just stuff around the 90s or whatever, but
yeah.
a small list I found was that they were in Contact, Excess Baggage, Wild Things, American Pie, Can't Hardly Wait, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the show, not the movie. The movie was before then,
yeah.
And Varsity Blues.
Wow.
So I'm like, were they the kings of the late 90s soundtracks? Like,
maybe.
That's crazy.
Wow, I didn't know that. All right.
Yeah.
See, so maybe it was more iconic than I give it credit for.
I think so.
Yeah.
And we're talking about it right now.
Yep. So, listening back to it, does it still rule?
Some songs are really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Next question? No. I think, like, okay, I haven't really listened to this since it came out.
97?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I was never a big, believe it or not, I wasn't really a massive 3EB fan.
3EB head?
But I did have the CD.
Yeah.
So, I'm sure I listened to it back then.
I know.
And probably not since, nor really any, haven't really had much of a desire to listen to anything else of theirs since.
Yeah.
But I think it still holds up.
Yeah.
You know, especially some of the songs. What about you?
I think so. I agree. I have to ask, when we were watching the music videos again together for this episode, did you know that there were five singles off of this album?
Like, yes.
Okay.
I feel like yes, but again, I don't know if I can really separate these were singles that were on the radio and had music videos versus, well, yeah, because I remember Varsity Blues and I remember American Pie and I remember Can't Hardly Wait, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
You know?
Oh, okay.
And a lot of the songs that were singles were on these soundtracks, including some of the songs that weren't singles.
Dang.
Like I think the song London was on some soundtrack in addition to, you know,
one of the
Jumper
singles
or whatever.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Wow. Interesting. So what's your favorite song, lyric, guitar part on the album?
It's funny because the songs that are my favorites listening back are a lot of the singles. I mean, Losing a Whole Year and Graduate. Graduate's probably my favorite.
Okay.
But I think two other ones that really stood out for me were Narcolepsy and Thanks a Lot. And a lot of them have these cool, I don't know if they're really guitar solos necessarily, but the guy uses a crybaby wah pedal or wah-wah pedal that was really made famous by, you know, Jimi Hendrix and stuff like Eric Clapton, et cetera.
Yeah.
But that stuff really stood out as like, ooh, that's a fun little guitar part or whatever. I don't know. What about you?
I do love with all my heart Semi-Charmed Life. It was not overplayed despite how much it was played. I just love that song.
Interesting.
But then I think my second favorite is How's It Gonna Be?
Okay.
It's so good. And I love that it starts off slow and melodic and then it gets, he's like yelling towards the end. And
yeah, it gets really, I wouldn't say it goes hard, but it gets really big.
Yeah.
They really like open up and
the pit.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that too. Sure, of course.
But yeah, I just love that song, not only because of how big it gets, but it's just good. Yeah.
It's funny you say that because I feel like those, to me, for me, were overplayed.
Oh.
Just because they were, it was kind of just everywhere.
Yeah.
And, but I don't know. That's just me.
Okay.
It's just one man's opinion.
That's okay. I won't tell them.
Okay.
It's fine. I'll cry myself to sleep tonight, but.
Sure.
Just kidding. Yeah. And then speaking of how big it gets, when we were rewatching the music videos, I remember seeing a music video for How's It Gonna Be, but I didn't remember like all the specifics of it. We're going to talk about it. So I guess the song is about like a breakup and going from like being very close with someone to being an acquaintance. And literally, how is that going to be? Like, how is that transitional period going to be? And I love the video because he's basically waiting outside his maybe ex's office.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, is this the office one?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then it's just him and the band hanging out in a car outside of an office building.
As you do.
And probably
with your with all of your instruments.
With all
except your drums, because the drums have to be already be upstairs.
Set up.
To play.
Exactly.
Right, right.
In the lobby.
Yeah.
Okay. So they're chilling, waiting in the car, and then all of a sudden the like pixie girl, the main character girl, who never you never see her whole face, but she is walking down the street to go to work. And I'm like, she's carrying all of these like tubes and big drawings. And I'm like, oh my gosh, is she a freaking architect?
Maybe. That could have been you.
I know. Stephen Jenkins X. But she goes to work.
I was
and then
referring to the architect, but that's fine. We'll unpack that at a later, okay. later episode.
Sounds good. So then she goes into her office up to the floor and then through the door, and then they kind of like follow her in, but it's not creepy. They just follow her up, and then it's, you know, it's getting to the, it's not, I'm not going to call it heavy, but to the big part, the bridge, I guess.
Yeah.
And they set up a whole live show in the lobby. Like they can't get into her office, but they're right outside.
You can't fit all that equipment through the door.
It's true. So they're right outside her door, and then it just launches into the big part. And it's almost this like, I got Say Anything, the movie vibes, like John Cusack, even
Holding up the boombox.
Holding up the boombox. He's like yelling these lyrics to her through this door. And It kind of, it also reminded me of High Fidelity too, when he's standing outside in the rain.
Oh yeah, that's a great scene.
And I don't know, I just love it. It's so emotion filled, which, you know, I love.
Oh yeah, that's your jam. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I had never, to my recollection, seen any of these music videos ever in my entire life.
Which is crazy. Are you sure? You've seen Semi-Charmed Life. I know it.
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, I don't know.
So what do you think of the that one?
They were fine. Mostly it was they're driving around. Yeah. One of them, I think Semi-Charmed Kind of Life, they're driving around San Fran.
Or L.A. Maybe another San
one.
Fran.
Well, yeah. A different one, they were driving around L.A.
Oh, okay. They like driving. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I like the one where they're playing in front of like three babes, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
But what I like that one because it was a weird kind of visual thing where the band is in like real time.
Mm-hmm.
But every time it shows the girls are moving in slow motion.
Slow-mo, yeah.
So that was like a cool juxtaposition or something different, something unique, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I like that one. And then the other one where they're playing in the club. Anna Nicole Smith is in the video. R.I.P.
It was the real Anna Nicole Smith?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I was reading that. I guess she was there or something. And they were like, oh, you can make a cameo in the video.
Whatever
studio they were shooting in, she, I think, happened to also be there or something like that. Or maybe she knew them. I'm not really sure.
What?
And they were like, yeah, come on in the video.
I saw her, but I thought it was like a lookalike.
Oh, no. That's the real deal.
Okay. Random.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I have to say the Semi-Charmed Life video reminds me so much of a Sublime video.
Yeah,
I mean, they were
fair.
All of this time and they were all like blurry. Yeah.
Blurry, and
blurry, and
there's a fisheye.
Right.
Someone has a silly hat.
I guess the director, though, of Semi-Charmed Life had only done Bush's video for Swallowed.
Nice.
Prior to this one.
Okay.
I was like, oh, it's going to say he did the video for Sublime. I know it, but I don't think he did.
Interesting.
Yeah, they just look a lot alike to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think you had to fit a certain vibe.
Yeah.
Like a certain visual aesthetic.
Right.
To kind of like slot into MTV back then.
Right.
Unless you were someone like a mega star, like a, you know.
Yeah. Mariah.
Or like Guns N' Roses, you know, November Rain. That was like a mini, that was like a short film.
Right.
But these other ones, it had to be that certain.
Yeah, I was reading
bluish,
that.
Bluish, weird hue.
I was reading that the singer and the guitarist put up basically all of the money for the production.
I would imagine they could afford it. Given how well this album did.
Yeah, but did you know this was their debut album?
Yes.
That is insane.
Yeah, I read that they had formed a few years prior and before and since they've had tons of, you know, lineup changes and stuff like that or whatever, but to have this kind of songs in the can from the jump is pretty amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially for 97, there weren't, you know, like it wasn't the sound here wasn't, I don't want to say it wasn't like anything you'd ever heard before, because that's
exactly
not true. But there is something unique about it, because some parts are really soft and some parts go harder and et cetera, mm-hmm. et cetera. And not a lot of bands were doing that. I mean, I guess, you know, Bush and stuff like that were. But.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as seeing them live, did you ever get to see them live?
No.
Neither did I. No.
But.
There's still time.
Yeah. I kind of saw them live when they were on episode 3, season 5 of Road Rules.
Fantastic.
It doesn't count. I know. But listen.
I guess, for the kids listening, before there was the Real World Road Rules Challenge, mm-hmm. they were separate shows.
Right.
And Road Rules always blew my mind that they just let these kids like drive around.
Literally 18 and 19 years old. I think the oldest of each cast was 23.
You can't even rent a car.
Children. No. But they were driving a Winnebago.
There you go.
But yeah, I had to pull up that scene. And so I made you watch it.
That's true.
But I remembered vividly in my mind, I was like, they were on an episode. I thought it was Real World, but it wasn't. Mm-hmm. Of Road Rules. And I found it on the internet. And so I put it on. Had you seen it before?
I didn't really have any recollection of the scene, mm-hmm. but seeing the, or not contestants, like cast, whatever, mm-hmm. of Road Rules, I was like, oh, I remember at least like three or four out of the, you know, seven or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they kind of look familiar.
Yeah, so I'm like, well, I probably watched the season, so therefore maybe I had seen it, but I just don't remember.
Yeah.
The only Real World Road Rules music of it all is the one I remember is the dude in Louisiana who was like scatting on the piano.
Oh, David.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then they're at some radio station that yep. like, or there was a different season maybe where it was a record label that signed some weird like metal band that was like the biggest industry plant. Like it wasn't even
right.
It wasn't even real, or maybe it was, who knows? Who cares? But anyway,
yeah.
Third Eye Blind.
Yeah.
Road Rules.
So I remember it vividly. The band was on the episode. And so I was like, I've got to find this, found it. It was a mission. So if for the kids, it's Road Rules had missions and you had to complete the mission in order to, I don't know, get paid.
Before the challenge, they had to complete challenges.
Yeah. And the mission was make a public service announcement for a local. So the band was going to play a show and all the proceeds and from the concert were going to go to the San Francisco teen, like crisis hotline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was like a teen suicide prevention.
Yeah. And so
organization or whatever. Yeah.
The album had already been released and like was getting like on the charts, I guess.
The cast didn't really look like they knew who of the band was.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
But they were like, all right, what's our mission? And the song Jumper is about like basically suicide prevention. Mm-hmm. He's saying, why don't you step back from that ledge, my friend? I would understand. And the lead singer is like, all right, your mission is to make a PSA for the teen crisis hotline. Mm-hmm. And so at the end of the episode, the band is at a concert performing live. And then they're like, all right, they bring out a giant screen onto the stage.
Like a projector,
like a
pull down projector, like you would in like a school.
And they show the PSA at the concert. But I remember them making it. And I remember the episode. I remember the PSA almost more than I remember the actual music video.
So I had so many questions about this PSA. Like,
yeah.
How did they cut the footage together and match the sound? Like, did you have to go on the show and your qualifications are you can drive a Winnebago and you can cut in Avid and like... You're right. Okay splicing.
You're also a video editor. I don't know.
You know how to master songs and stuff.
Yeah.
How did they make it?
They didn't show it in the clip that we watched, but they may have hired someone or maybe they brought in like a little editor. Possibly. They had to have.
I just love when the cast is like, I mean, I know how to edit movies. And they're like, what? Get in here.
Yeah. But that sticks out in my head so much. And honestly, I think it was one of their songs was also in a Real World Seattle episode. I just couldn't find it.
Was it the Slap?
I think it was the Slap episode.
Wow.
We should just find the whole episode later.
That was a great season.
I'm telling you, it was in that episode.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm calm.
Yeah.
I was shocked for myself that I remembered the PSA from the Road Rules episode more than the actual music video.
Well, I mean, watching all those videos in quick succession, I don't want to say they all blended together, but
yeah, a little bit.
Only in the sense of each one of them features the band playing.
Right.
So
nothing highly unique about any of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, with a singer that pretty, you got to have him front and center on the video.
Front and center.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he was front and center for How's It Gonna Be? And I didn't know his eyes were that blue. Are his eyes that blue?
I don't know.
Yeah. It's true.
It's the VFX that they used from the Road Rules video.
They were like, we know how to make your eyes blue.
And did you ever listen to any other stuff after this album?
No.
Same.
Yeah. Sorry.
I just find it so interesting that this album was so big and they have many other albums.
I know.
And they still tour and... I think, anyway.
They do. And I think they were on tour this summer, like a few months ago, with mm-hmm. Yellow Card.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, but we didn't go.
That's true.
It's fine.
I just can't really think of any other songs off the top of my head. I'm sure there have many.
Yeah.
And have had great success. It's just weird that like neither one of us have any recollection. I don't know.
Same. Well, I think the next one came out in 99.
Interesting.
And then the one after that was 03, I think.
Oh, yeah. By then... We were into much different stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. But I made a note. So, thanks a lot.
Great song. One of my favorites on the record.
Is it just me? Does it not sound like a really old At the Drive-In song?
I think it's just you.
No, somebody listen. If you're listening, go listen to old, early At the Drive-In.
Cedric, then, Omar, if you're there.
And then go listen to the first 24 seconds of Thanks a Lot.
Wow. Okay.
There's something about the bass and the guitar that I was like, this sounds like somebody else. But they both came out like At the Drive-In's debut and Third Eye Blind's debut came out almost within a couple months of each other. So nobody's copying each other.
Yeah.
It's just coincidence.
Yeah. Something tells me Stephen Jenkins wasn't hip to the Hell Paso EP in like 95 or whatever.
Yeah.
Of At the Drive-In. Hey, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll do that. We'll do that research for the next one.
Okay. Sounds good. So I guess that answers, is this their best album?
I mean, it has to be.
Yeah, it has to five
How's
singles.
How's it going
to
be? Yeah.
I'm telling you, I don't know if there was another single off of another album.
Oh, I'm sure there was.
Yeah.
It didn't really penetrate the zeitgeist, however.
Like this album did.
Yeah.
Right.
And I mean, for me, also, I go back to them being on all those soundtracks.
Oh, like, right.
I don't have any specific, like, memorization of scenes or anything, but when I was thinking about it and then doing some research, I was like, yeah, for some reason, they're so synonymous with, like, Can't Hardly Wait, and I remember the Varsity Blues soundtrack was in heavy rotation in my house. I'm like, oh, yeah, they were on Varsity Blues. Oh, mm-hmm. yeah, they were on American Pie. And then... all these other things I didn't know.
Wow.
Not to mention a bunch of other stuff that, like, they were on the soundtrack of that Norm Macdonald movie, Dirty Work.
Oh.
Like, they were everywhere.
Dang.
Which I just find so fascinating.
I know. And for this to be their debut album, even though I know they were a band for, like, 4 years before this came out.
Yeah.
And I heard there were five iterations of Semi-Charmed Life.
Yeah.
Did you hear? Yeah.
And I think there were originally something else was going to be like the first single, but I think they kind of just honed in Semi-Charmed Kind of Life.
Mm-hmm.
Baby. No, just honed in on it so much that they were like, this has to be the first single. And then it just blew up.
Yeah. Seriously. I was part of the problem. I thought it's still my favorite to this day.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's okay.
And it's about... and then I remember being like a naive 12-year-old thinking like, oh, this is such a cool song. And I loved everything about it. And then finding out that it's all about crystal meth.
Well, yeah. I mean, they bleep that part out in the video.
Yeah. Which brings me back to the Sublime song, Caress Me Down. And he sings in Spanish for half of it. And
oh, yeah, that's right.
We're not fluent in Spanish, but my mom is. And I was like, Mom, can you tell me what he's saying?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And she's like, all right, he likes guitar. Okay, he's at his friend Maxie's house. Wait, what is that? Oh, poor naive Jennifer of,
yes.
Yeah, 97. But anyway, I guess I was reading about it. He said the lead singer who wrote the lyrics doesn't have like some formulaic, like, oh, every song has to say this and there needs to be a message. He just writes about like what's happening in the moment.
Meth. Okay.
And that he was at a Primus show and all of his friends were doing crystal meth backstage.
That sounds accurate.
Yeah. And that he's like, he actually intentionally liked the juxtaposition of like the kind of dark lyrics about doing drugs, but with, he said that doing crystal meth, I wouldn't know, I've never done it, mm-hmm. is like the bright and shiny feeling you get from doing crystal meth mixed with like, I don't know. I was like, okay, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the rest was history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, did we talk about, is it a no skip album?
Not for me, but what about you?
Wait, so you wouldn't skip anything?
No, I would.
Oh, you would. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I kind of don't really like Narcolepsy.
Interesting.
Sorry. So I'd skip that one.
Wow.
And then I would probably skip like the last half.
Yes.
Is that bad?
No.
I'm sorry, Third Eye Blind, 3EB.
Well, they also front load the record with
all of the hits.
Most of the singles.
Yeah. I mean, I do like Thanks a Lot. I do like Burning Man and Motorcycle Drive-By.
Oh, yeah.
And The Background. Okay. All right. Listen. So I like a lot of it.
Yes. I think you like more of it than I most do, but I really like the, I mean, I think that's kind of one thing they really excel at are writing hooks. I mean, yeah. you know, I'm sitting here on one hand saying, oh, I could skip, How's It Gonna Be, for mm-hmm. example.
How dare you?
Or Jumper or, Cemetery I'm Crying Alive. However, I can also walk away humming those songs, mm-hmm. even though they're not my favorites, even though at least for me, they were a little overplayed.
Yeah.
But it's still, it gets in your head. It's that earworm. Like mm-hmm. that's kind of a through line of like all these records we're talking about.
Yeah.
Of just how
catchy
it was.
I know.
Regardless of genre.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I think what you were saying earlier is so true. There was something just unique and different about them. Cause like Tonic was out and mm-hmm. Eve 6 and
Our Lady Peace.
They were all out too, but they just didn't have this, like, I don't know. Like, I hate to say it, but bright and shiny.
Yes.
Yeah.
That'll be the new barometer. Is it bright and shiny?
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah.
Should we get into ratings?
I think so. I'd say 85 out of 97.
Okay.
What about
okay.
you?
I went with 80.
Okay.
Just because, like I was saying, you know, some of them a little more overplayed for me mm-hmm. Than you.
Yeah.
But I think it's still, that's a B is a good grade.
Yeah. And it still rules. Like, though, especially those singles. I mean, they were mm-hmm. singles for a reason. That's for sure.
But yeah. Definitely check out Thanks a Lot as a non-single that's really catchy yeah. and fun and
yeah,
it's just a great song.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Well,
I think that'll do it for this week.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening and make sure to follow us on social. We're at Greatest Music Pod, all your favorite social platforms of choice. Give us a follow. Give us a comment.
Yeah, and tell us, well, first of all, go listen to Thanks a Lot and tell me if it sounds like early at the drive-in. Please, I need validation.
Yes.
But also tell us if you ever saw them live or your favorite songs from the album. We'd love to hear it. And give us a follow and a rating on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts.
Yeah, the ratings really help.
Yeah.
When they get you in the boosted in the algorithm.
Right.
As it were.
Yes, please.
But stay tuned for next week, when we'll be covering Nimrod by Green Day.
Nice.
See you next week.